Welcome to Talent Hub Talk. I'm Ben Duncombe, and on this podcast, I will be interviewing prominent and inspirational figures from both the local ANZ and global Salesforce Ohana. For today's episode, I was joined by Brad Riley. Brad is a Salesforce Certified Technical Architect working for Devanti in New Zealand. Throughout this episode, we discuss Brad's career before Salesforce and the exposure to broader technology that he had. We then talk about why and how he moved into the Salesforce ecosystem and what the initial projects looked like. We run through the roles that he's had since he moved into Salesforce, and then what first attracted him to moving into consulting and the exposure that working in consulting has given him. We talk about how his CTA journey started, and really who gave him the inspiration or the point in the right direction to do that. We then talk about how the journey evolved and what he'd have done differently, if anything, on his journey to Salesforce CTA. We talk about the gaps that he found while preparing for the CTA and how he plugged those gaps and was able to pass the review board. And we talk about the work that he does with the Devanti internal architecture capability and training upcoming architects on their journey to perhaps making it to the Salesforce CTA too one day. We talk about what becoming a CTA has meant for him personally and the goals that he has set since becoming a CTA and how he stays motivated and keeps learning. So this was a really interesting episode for anyone that's on the journey to CTA or anyone that's looking to put in place an architecture capability internally within a partner or even an end customer. I think Brad shares some really valuable advice, and I hope you enjoy listening to this episode. So Brad, thank you very much for joining us on the podcast, on the video series. Really great to have you as a guest.
Oh, I'm glad to be here.
So you're at home in Auckland at the moment, and we're going to talk a little bit about the New Zealand market and your journey in the New Zealand market. But first off, it would be great to understand a bit more about life before Salesforce, because I think people know you as the CTA and the lead architect there at Devanti, but not a lot of our audience will know kind of how you got to that point. So what did you do before you got into the Salesforce ecosystem?
So I actually started off as a Microsoft developer, VB6, for those who are old enough to know VB6, and then moved into the .NET language, C#. And I was probably in that Microsoft ecosystem for 6, 7, 8 years. As a developer, moved into a technical lead role and working, not in consulting, but working for a financial services company. And, we are completely Microsoft house, didn't know anything about Salesforce. And it just so happened a project came along where the business had already chosen Salesforce as a platform they wanted to use. They liked the fact that it was configurable and could deliver functionality really quick. I had no idea what it was, didn't know how big Salesforce was. At that stage, it wasn't obviously as big as it is now. But I was the next technical lead off the rank and had the next project coming up. And so I sort of got it forced upon me to some extent, but leapt at the opportunity to learn something new, which was, turns out to be a watershed moment in my career, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. And now there's this kind of thing, right, that you're either a Microsoft professional or you're a Salesforce professional, and there's kind of a little bit of competitiveness, right? So was that there back then? Like, did you, when you first kind of came across Salesforce, were you like, no, like I'm a Microsoft guy, or
yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a whole concept of cloud computing was new. Salesforce's motto or logo at that stage was no software, which was a very thinly veiled stab at Microsoft being software intensive and infrastructure intensive. Having to stand up servers and actual physical tin versus Salesforce, which was all cloud based. So there was an element of that, and I was a little bit cautious moving into a Salesforce project. And after we delivered our first project, which was about an 18-month one, so it was pretty substantial, as a conscious choice I had to make was, do I go down the Salesforce route or follow the Microsoft path that I started on? And I was, at that stage, I was completely worried about tying myself into one technology, thinking, well, you can only build Salesforce if you go down the Salesforce route, versus Microsoft, which had the open development language and you can build whatever you want, but you had to start from point zero every single time. Versus Salesforce, you've got a nice CRM database at that stage. So it was a decision that I was concerned about. I was worried that Salesforce wasn't going to go anywhere, mm-hmm. or that it would be a sort of a death knell to my development career.
Yeah.
Which obviously turned out completely the opposite way, I guess.
Sure.
It became its own development language at that point in time. So that was quite an interesting time at that stage.
So when are we talking? Like, how long ago was this? You got into the Salesforce world?
We were looking at around about, I think it was about 2007, 2008, and the project we got into, the Force.com platform was just released as a beta program, and we got on the beta program because of what we wanted to do. So we got in there, and being a developer, the first thing I wanted to do was write code, and we had to some extent for some of the functionality that was required, to the point where I still remember to this day is we had a demonstration to play back to the business the next morning. And I was trying to write a simple trigger, and I had no idea how to deploy a simple trigger. I was pulling my hair out of how do you get this thing that I've written up into the cloud to get it to work? and being part of the beta program, the documentation was sparse, support was infrequent. You're on community boards trying to find things out. And it really was like a wild west where you drew upon every single ounce of knowledge you had from a Microsoft point of view, from a web development point of view, from a HTTP request response point of view, just to try and understand what Salesforce was doing in the back end. And we're even like getting into JavaScript libraries to do client side stuff back then, which now ScreenFlows do out of the box, So we pushed, I think, Force.com platform and the language to within an inch of its life, back 12 years ago. So it was really exciting times, but man, it was challenging.
Yeah, it sounds it. And then from that moment, obviously, so you did a big project, Force.com, and obviously the platform has grown a lot since then. But what did other, like after delivering that piece of work, what did other projects look like for you? What did you go on to next?
Yeah, so after that first project, I jumped onto another project within the same company, the financial services, which was all around, I guess, mastery of advisors' records. So a lot of integration with that, going to back-end systems. So it was all about using CRM as it should be in a single source of truth, propagating back out to, I think it's about 7 different back-end systems. So that that sort of consumed me in the Salesforce world for 3+ years, at which point I wanted to go out and sort of explore the world a little bit. So I went over to the UK, took my family over to the UK, and worked over there for a company called Reed Exhibitions, which does sort of trade shows, sales space, basically for people to put stalls up and trade shows and things like that. And, we're the CRM platform over there. So I spent 18 months over there sort of working with them. First experience on, multilingual, multi-currency, global platform. I think it was across something like about 12 or 13 different countries, which, coming from New Zealand was something that you don't have and still often don't have. But over in the UK and in London, that was at the heart of what we did. So that was a real learning curve there. After that, I came back to New Zealand and started working in a strictly architectural role. So that was non-technical, non-hands-on, very boxes and lines, purist architecture, which I did that for 3 years, but then got the urge, I guess, or missed the fact of, the enjoyment of delivery and solving problems. And I'm a, coder at heart, not being able to do that was always sort of drawing me back in. And at that point, I reached back out to Devanti and asked if there's any position that they had. And it turned out that they did, and I joined them, which was daunting in its own right, because that was 3 years off the tools, off the Salesforce platform. So when I was in the pure architecture role, it wasn't, I didn't touch Salesforce at that point. Wasn't architecting full Salesforce, it was all everything but. So that was daunting coming back into a consultancy such as, Devanti and held in such high esteem, and so many Salesforce professionals trying to come back into that environment and pick up where you left off. So some late night studying.
Yeah, I bet. And it's funny you mentioned Reed, because obviously we're on the other side of the world, right? And I've heard about that project before. There's a few people in Sydney, I think, that have worked on that program.
Yeah. I think there's a lady, Astrid Clout.
Yeah.
So I ran into her at Dreamforce last year, and that was first time I'd seen her since I left the UK, and it's like, it's good to catch up. And a couple of other Australians, I think, still over there. Yeah, predominantly Australia, New Zealand, South African shop over there. I always joke, I've never worked with as many New Zealanders as I have over in the UK.
Yeah, or drunk with as many of them in pubs in and around London. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, it's because Astrid, I saw her present a user group, and she was actually using that. I think she'd been to Russia to do training or something. It sounds like a beast of a project, and probably taught a lot of people a lot about, big programs of work.
Yeah.
So then coming back to New Zealand and obviously getting into Devanti, what was it specifically, was getting into consulting interesting to you because you would get back hands-on, or was it just the variety of exposure across products and platforms and environments that you would get? Is that kind of what excited you about consulting?
Yeah, I think it's the variety. I think is probably key. Having worked in organizations that are only concerned in their industry or their problem solving to their technology stack is relatively static or well defined. The challenge of consulting is, and variety of consulting is always appealing. I thrive on having new problems to solve for the customer, understanding new technologies, new industries that you wouldn't normally get exposed to. So it's not just about the technology that we're trying to apply, because you know Salesforce to some extent is, you know, you get a toolkit that you can build upon, but the industry itself changes. So how do you best apply that to meet a business problem that you've never come across before? So that's what I brought me back to consulting. And also, you know, you get to interact with a whole bunch of different people, stakeholders, different concerns about how they want to, you know, engage their clients. What's their business proposition? Are they global? Are they local? Are they, you know, from farming to financial services to, you know, online software industry of all types. So that really drives my passion for sales.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
So obviously, and we'll go through your journey now in terms of the moment you decided you want to become a CTA, but do you think, knowing what you know now, do you think you would have become a CTA had you not gone into consulting?
I probably wouldn't have, actually, to be fair. I think becoming part of a consultancy, especially one like Devante that's geared around Salesforce, sort of put me in touch with so many like-minded professionals and highly skilled individuals in the organization. That sort of, I guess, you know, there's a tide of learning and certifications and trailheads that everyone was doing that I just wanted to follow. But also the fact that there are a lot of people there with certs and, you know, badges and whatever have you ahead of me, and I'm a competitive person, and the fact that I've been in Salesforce probably and often in a lot of cases longer than most of them, I almost took that personally and said, well, I've got something that I should have, you know, so that really drove my passion. And that was new for me, you know, because every other organization I worked for, apart from, you know, Reed, had a Salesforce team was a afterthought almost. You had maybe a handful, five or six. There was no business unit geared around delivering Salesforce solutions. You were more about a supporting role. So
sure.
So yeah. So that really, really did drive me. And you know, without joining Devante, I don't think I would have even thought about becoming a CTA. I don't even think I knew of CTAs before that.
Yeah, yeah. So from the moment you joined, and then obviously the competitiveness in you saw these people getting certs and so on, you decided you were going to become a CTA. From that moment, what did that journey look like in terms of the actual process of working out where your gaps were, plugging those gaps, doing the review board and so on?
Yeah. So my journey was quite a long one, actually. Myself and a colleague in Wellington, we decided to go down the CTA path together. At that stage, the CTA prerequisites and information around what a board review really entails and what you need to know was, once again, you know, sort of limited and not very forthcoming. So we both set our original prerequisites where you just had to do a one exam, a multi-choice exam to, I guess, as a prerequisite for the board review. We both passed that. He was a little bit ahead of me in that, in terms of maybe a month ahead of me. So he booked his board review and sat that before I booked mine. And his board review, he didn't pass, which kind of shook me a little bit, to be honest. So I thought, oh, well, I'm not going to do it. So I put that on the back burner for probably about 6 to 9 months until I met Suzanne Ferguson, who runs the CTA program, or was the driving force behind the CTA program. And I met her when she visited out here in New Zealand, and we were just talking, and I was talking about how I run a program within Devante itself. And then she asked if I was actually a CTA because I wasn't on her list. And you know, I explained it to her and she said, well, you have to sit it in the, you know, in the coming months. And I signed up to it. And then I told too many people that I was going to do it, that I couldn't back out of it. So I thought I better, you know, knuckle down and get into it. So as a refresher, I sat all the prerequisites again, the new ones, all the designer certs, which I didn't have to do, but I thought that would obviously highlight the gaps.
Sure.
In my knowledge, went through I smashed those out as quick as I could. I think I got through them in about a couple of months, and then basically collated a whole bunch of notes around what I didn't do well in, because those designer certs give you a nice breakdown of what you don't know,
mm-hmm.
which was helpful. So I went through, you know, the trail mixes and everything online and areas that I was lacking in, and sort of, you know, basically really focused on those areas as well as the broader requirements for the board review. But I started getting hands-on. I started configuring and building things that I hadn't done before. I started, you know, I was spending about 2 hours a night, 6 nights a week sort of thing, studying, reviewing notes, going over everything from, you know, integration security, you know, all the sharing rules, things like that, just to make sure I've got the broad base. And in terms of the gaps in my knowledge that, you know, and it's going to be different for every individual, but the gaps in my knowledge that was highlighted to me was, you know, around the finer parts of sharing rules. I understand sharing rules, but then there was things around implicit sharing and explicit sharing, which I hadn't come across in a project world yet. Territories is not something I've ever implemented it, and is, you know, in New Zealand, it's not really as, I guess, commonplace as maybe a, you know, as in America, where they've got, you know, multiple states and things like that that sure. might need it. So the sharing rules piece was an area that I had to focus on. And then just in general, how to secure communications between applications. So that's all about single sign-on, you know, connected apps, OAuth, those sort of configurable elements of connecting apps together. And then understanding, well, what does that actually mean? What does OAuth mean? What does SAML mean? You know, how is it secure? What are those applications exchanging? How do they trust each other? All those sort of things. So those were the biggest gaps for me, you know, sharing rules and territories in particular, and the app-to-app security.
Sure.
This episode of Talent Hub Talk is sponsored by our friends from Flow Republic. Flow Republic is a Salesforce Architect Academy that works with individuals and businesses to upskill and prepare Salesforce architects for the CTA review board. They also have a number of other offerings, including coaching and guiding on areas such as soft skills, consulting, and design training. Flow Republic are some of the brightest minds in the Salesforce ecosystem and have a proven track record of developing Salesforce professionals and helping architects to reach their goal of becoming a CTA. To find out more about the value they can add, please check out flowrepublic.com.
And it's a hot topic around, do you have to have come from a development background to be a CTA? Mm-hmm. How much did your development background prior to coming into Salesforce help with the actual architectural requirements of being a CTA?
I mean, I think it helped. I mean, I won't pretend that it didn't, but I'd say probably what helped more was just my industry experience and being part of large projects that span the breadth of Salesforce. You know, you very rarely do you find a single project that covers all those areas. So if you get that variety in projects, whether it's through changing jobs or you're in a consultancy that has different projects on that have different parts of Salesforce that you're implementing, that gives you the breadth of knowledge. From a technical point of view, I think there's very little in terms of there was none in the board review around how would you write this code or how would you actually, you know, develop. It was more about choosing the right tools, if you like, around solving a solution. Probably the most technical part of the whole board review, I believe, would be around the security of apps. So like I say, SAML and OAuth type standards and, mm-hmm. and protocols are probably the most technical parts, and they'll be the most challenging. If there are functionals out there that want to head down this route, they really need to understand that concept of what does a OAuth mean? What does SAML mean? What do those two applications, like I mentioned before, what do they exchange to trust each other? But that's not writing it or developing it. It's just understanding what's happening behind the scenes.
Sure. So since you became a CTA, what's changed for you, either personally or professionally? Like how has it affected your life?
Personally, I've got more time to spend with my family because I'm not studying. But I think, you know, it's a lot of relief, you know, realizing that you've reached the pinnacle. All the work you've put forward, not only in studying and leading up to the board review, but also throughout your career, has had another purpose. Not that I knew it at the time, but it has had another purpose. So it's kind of like a relief. I guess it's a bit of a validation, or you know, in a sense that I feel validated, in the sense when you go into a room or a conversation, you feel like you have an extra backing. You've got something, you know, certification or a CTA, you know, label behind you. That gives you an element of validation, or I guess endorsement that,
sure.
that you're going to do right by the platform.
Yeah.
So that certainly helps professionally. I think also feels like people are willing even more now to reach out and ask, you know, about the platform, ask about it, you know, my experiences and such like that, rather than just saying, oh, that's someone who's got a lot of certs. It's now, oh, that person's a CTA. So it is a lot of relief, a lot of validation, but also quite a bit of responsibility comes with it, I think. I now feel even more responsible to make the Salesforce ecosystem globally successful, the platform successful, and that's through making customers successful that have chosen the platform, but also about sharing knowledge and my learnings through mentoring or guidance of other people striving to reach where I have been lucky to go. So there is an element of responsibility, not only for customers, but the platform itself and the entire ecosystem, but also to bring other people and other Salesforce consultants up to a level as high as they can go. It may not be CTA, but as high as they can achieve, and so they can go on and deliver great outcomes for customers.
Yeah, nice. And that brings me on nicely actually to the next question, which is around your internal architecture program. How has that been to put in place? Is that something that you'd kind of always wanted to do? Were you doing something before the CTA like that? And how do you run something like that?
So the program, the Architect Academy that we've sort of established, or that I've established in Devanti, that actually, that did start before I even thought about heading towards the CTA. And it was more about, well, I guess it came from a number of consultants in the organization who were very good at what they did, very good developers, very good functional consultants, always were coming to us as a leadership team and saying, listen, I want to be an architect. And some of this, some of these people coming forward were, 2-3 years experience and didn't necessarily understand what an architect was or what the responsibilities are, how you have to think, those sort of things. So because we had so many people wanting to become architects, we sort of thought about how do we bring forward, I guess, the best people to do that, but also how do we make them aware that it's not a simple transition. It's not something that you can train for. A lot of it is actually what you have to experience. So what I did is I put a 12-week course now together, which is a scenario-based, I guess, learning where I break up the 12 weeks into 6 modules effectively. And it's more about me sharing my experience and how I go about architecture and architecting a solution with the participants. So we basically cover off areas like understanding the customer, understanding the technology landscape, curing the solution, how to plan for the release, in terms of road mapping and transition architects to target architecture, things like that. So it's broader than just, hey, here we can. This is how you draw a boxes and lines model or an ERD to show the database. It's all about understanding what the customer is trying to achieve, what applications they already have there, what the value they have, what do they want to keep, what do they want to throw away, and how can Salesforce sort of seamlessly fit in that environment. And what we do is we basically break those up into, like I say, 6 modules where we have a classroom session, and then we take the scenario and they go away and do some exercises on that particular scenario, and we come back and discuss it and I critique it, and sometimes they raise fantastically valid points that prove that maybe I need to think about my model solution in a different way, which is so it's quite interesting. It's learning for me, it's learning for them, and and we've run it through, 3-4 iterations now? And we've had approximately about 20 people through it.
Yeah, nice.
We had to stop the most recent one, obviously, because of COVID. We found it was just too hard having architecture discussions over video conferencing. We all need whiteboard markers and whiteboards. So
so at what point does someone get involved in it? Is it they put their hand up, or do they have to be at a certain level already to be ready to sit in on that?
Yeah, so the way we, I guess, generate interest for it is put out expressions of interest, see who's out there interested. The most recent one, I think it was about 16 to 20 applicants that wanted to be part of it. I try and keep the group small, so 4, 5, maybe 6 participants, just so everyone can feel like they're getting the level of engagement they want. And also it gets very hard to, if anyone's been in a room full of architects, it's very hard to get a consensus or a decent amount of conversation if there's too many people in the room. So out of those people that express interest, there's some that we've already earmarked within the organization, and hopefully they put their name forward. If not, we sort of look at some of the background, I guess, in terms of how long have they been with the organization, how experienced are they, how close are they to a CTA, or are they on the CTA journey, things like that. And I do try and mix it up intentionally to have a good balance of functional and technical people, because I don't really want it to turn just into a technical audience, as per your question previously, because I think there is value for functionals to understand what good architecture is about. It's not necessarily about how you solve the problem or what tools you solve the problem. It's more about how do you go about thinking of the customer's needs and turning that into something that meets their needs, whether it's functional or technical, is should be irrelevant to a solution architect.
Sure. It's interesting because obviously in my job, I'm speaking to people every day about their aspirations of becoming an architect. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a misinterpretation often, and this is something I've posted on LinkedIn, and I was involved in a CTA panel, virtual dreaming. And something that really changed the way I think and the way I question candidates is around solution design isn't necessarily architecture.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of the time people, I'm not a Salesforce professional, but I've always kind of thought, okay, cool, you're doing solution design. That means you're an architect. And actually, like, there's a lot more to architecture than just designing a solution, right? So
absolutely.
Do you see that people think that they're an architect when actually they're not at that level quite yet?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, you know, that back to my point where I was talking about how do we come about, you know, creating this Architects Academy, it was exactly that. There's a lot of people that thought they were ready for architecture or to become an architect, but they had barely scratched the surface of, you know, solution design to some extent, and they didn't know what an architect really entails. And so in the very first session that we have, it's all about outlaying what is an architect or what I think an architect is. And one of the slides I use is about, it sort of addresses what I call scope of awareness and grows. So if you think of a Salesforce awareness being a small bubble, that's the developer, maybe a tech lead, then you sort of get the next layer, which might be your integration or something like that. That becomes, you know, sort of a little bit broader awareness, and that might be a solution architect or solution designer. And then you get further out and understanding, well, what other applications exist in the organization? Who are the business stakeholders? How is that going to impact their use case, their day-to-day operations, CEO considerations? You know, so it's, in my mind, you're dead right. A solution designer probably just has an awareness of Salesforce and what happens in Salesforce, where a solution architect or an architect, broader than that, their scope of awareness is much, much bigger. They need to understand the whole technology landscape and the people that are responsible for that technology landscape from a technical point of view and a business point of view.
Yeah, someone I spoke to recently put it into, and I'm not sure if this is 100% right, but like an architect would build the house and the solution designer would do the interior design of a room.
Yeah. And then, you know, that's like the scope of what you have to be aware of, right? So when you build a house, you have to think about a whole bunch of other stuff, outside influences, things like that. You know, and a solution designer is, cutting out the insides.
Yeah, they're working to the framework that's already been built, right? They're not changing the house, but they're making that house look nice and working to. Yeah, that's really interesting. I'm glad that's I'm on the right lines with that as well. So obviously, you mentioned at the beginning, you're really keen to keep learning, growing, developing your own skill set.
Mm-hmm.
What excites you now? Like, what kind of has your interest? You've hit the goal of becoming a CTA. What's next in terms of your learning?
I think part of the process made me realize, you know, Salesforce as a platform is vast. You know, there's little pockets of things that I never knew about, and only because I'd never been in a project that had needed to do that. So first thing I've endeavored to do is now every major release, I review release notes, you know, just to go through and see what's new. And that's, you know, part of my ongoing awareness that I now need to keep up to date with the platform as a whole. And that comes back to, you know, the feeling of responsibility that I have now that I am a CTA. I think also broader than that, I think the new other clouds, you know, like a marketing cloud, I really want to get into that, and a commerce cloud, I really want to get into that. And then just the new things that are coming out that I'm really, really interested in is like, you know, a 360 data manager and some of the, you know, capabilities that Mule, you know, are bringing to the party. That has a lot of potential, a lot of power that I want to see how that evolves and stay on top of that, because I think that, that 360 data manager could become a solution for so many organizations that I work with and that I haven't had the opportunity to work with yet around that master data management. So those are areas that I'm looking at and looking to, you know, dive in deeper around that. Tableau is another one. You know, where are we going with Tableau? That's going to be really cool. I've never used Tableau, you know, so I really, really want to get into there and see. Well, we went down the route of Einstein Analytics. What's Tableau going to bring to the party? You know, because there's going to be some really, really cool developments there. So those are the kind of things that I'll be heading to and you know, learning, as well as, you know, keeping up to date with my badges and my certifications. Because like I said, I'm highly competitive. I keep looking at the organisation. You know, Devante, who's leading, who's winning, and there's some people that I've just let go because there's no way I can keep up with them. But if I'm in the top 10, I'm happy.
Yeah, nice. So it's great to have that competitive edge, and I guess everyone, you know, it's great for the people that aren't CTAs to be ahead of you and you chasing them. So So, yeah. I've really enjoyed the chat. It's great to get inside your mind and hear about how you think and how you've approached different things. If other people are keen to kind of hit you up and find out a bit more or ask some questions, where's the best place for them to contact you?
Yeah, so they can either contact me through Devante website or just send an email direct if they want to, brad.riley@devante.co.nz. And, I'm more than happy to respond and or answer questions and be open and learn and keep dialogue going. It's always good to meet new people and try and solve new problems.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you hadn't have met Suzanne that time, who knows if you'd have gone down the CTA route. So, Suzanne's someone I'm in discussions with about coming on the podcast as well and talk more about the process of and what an actual review board looks like, I think it's until you actually get in there on the day, you can prepare. But I think you need to be as prepared as possible, right?
Yeah, it's an experience, that's for sure. You don't necessarily come out feeling good, but when you get there, you feel amazing.
Yeah, nice. Well, look, thanks so much. Really appreciate it, and all the best for the future.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Talent Hub Talk. If you're enjoying the podcast, we'd love it if you could subscribe and also leave a short review. We're keen for this podcast to reach as many people in the Salesforce ecosystem as possible, and your reviews will help us do that.